Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine?
Ka'Chava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor.
This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor, crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, President Catherine Connolly has said recent attacks in the Middle East are deliberate assaults on international law. President Connolly made these remarks in a statement which marked International Women's Day, and her comments have caused some in government, some concern in government that it might affect the Taoiseach's visit to the White House for St. Patrick's Day. And joining me for more on this is John Lee, Group Political Editor with the Irish Daily Mail. Good evening to you, John. John, I read your piece with great interest and the headline, "There's absolute consternation in Cabinet over the comments from the President." Tell us what, you've obviously spoken to lots of politicians, what are they saying?
Well, I was enjoying the day off of my son's rugby yesterday, and they kind of contacted me, such was their concern. I'm sure they did with other journalists as well. Pretty plainly, the timing has disturbed them of this statement. Not your normal statement for International Women's Day from a president, but there you go. And probably with previous incumbents in the White House, you wouldn't have been that concerned. But with the capricious nature of Donald Trump, there is a fear. Fears are often irrational, that this might affect Micheál Martin's visit to the White House, which is Tuesday week.
And when you say affect, John, do you mean actually that they might rescind the invitation, or do you mean, and it would probably be not beyond the realms of possibility, that President Trump might try and humiliate or have a go at Micheál Martin?
Again, this is an articulated fear to me. I don't necessarily think it's a palpable fear, but that Trump may cancel it. That is the nature of the man. He's reacted very, very negatively to any criticism of his actions in Iran against other countries. And that was a fear. The secondary fear then is the two men are in the White House. Trump, I was there last year, and I've been to the White House with him a number of occasions for that St. Patrick's Day visit. And in the past, presidents would give maybe two or three questions. There's an hour there. Now, I can't see how an Irish journalist is not going to ask both Donald Trump and Micheál Martin, should the event go ahead, what are your views on the Irish president's statements about your conduct in Iran? And then Micheál Martin will be left in a pretty unprecedented situation, I would say, where he either has to agree with the president of Ireland in her statements about Iran and breaking of international law, or contradict her.
Yeah, and that would be an invidious position, I'm sure, for him to find himself in. John, have a listen to this, because on Thánaiste, Sir Simon Harris was asked earlier about President Connolly's comments and whether there is much difference between the government's position on what has happened in Iran and her own, and that it was an infraction of international law. Have a listen to what he has said.
No, I think the government has been very clear and consistent that the current actions in the Gulf do not have a UN mandate. The government has been consistent in its support for international law. I have huge respect for the President, I have huge respect for her mandate, her constitutional role and her office, and therefore her right to speak on issues of concern to her, and indeed issues of concern to the Irish people. The government has also been clear in terms of our support for the UN, clear in terms of the importance of international law, clear in calling for de-escalation, but also, as you'd expect, the government, in terms of our role, our priority being on assisting Irish citizens.
John, what do you make of that? First of all, do you think that the president has a right to speak, a constitutional right to speak on these kinds of issues?
She absolutely doesn't. And the failure has been upon Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, who have now been in government for the last 6 years, not to foresee with what happened with the more benign, I guess, Michael D. Higgins, where he pushed the boundaries, where he felt it within his remit to comment on government policy, be it housing policy, as he did, and then international affairs, which she, you know, stretched to even criticising Ursula von der Leyen. Yes, in past times, you could expect the president to for want of a better phrase, behave themselves. That is no longer the case. And there has to be some clarity brought to the situation.
It is a difficult
situation. Just let me finish reason. You can't have two institutions expressing different opinions on foreign affairs in this state.
Having said that, Tánaiste, the Simon Harris there says that they're not expressing different views, that they're very close on this one. What did you make of that?
Well, again, there's another tradition, and they've been overtaken by events and changes in the nature of politics where a government minister isn't, and as I pointed out in relation to Micheál Martin, isn't comfortable with contradicting the President of Ireland. But what he said today is very, very different from what she said yesterday. She put it out on the presidential website where she spoke about violations of international law that we're witnessing are shocking and numbing. If I had time to go through all of it, these are not political disputes. They are deliberate assaults on international law, the international laws that have been underpinned global peace for 80 years. And it goes on and on. It's very, very different from what Mr. Harris said. And again, as I said, the briefings I got yesterday from his colleagues in cabinet were markedly different from what he said today.
Lastly, maybe, John, what did you make of the fact that on International Women's Day, there was no mention of the what many people would see as despotic Iranian regime's treatment of women, most particularly protesters? They are alleged to have killed up to 30,000 protesters in January in the wake of the kind of uprising against the regime. Do you think it's interesting the choice not to highlight that in any way, particularly on International Women's Day?
Let's not rewrite history. Catherine Connolly has very extreme views on international affairs. She has failed in that statement, for instance, to condemn in any way the activities of Iran, which is, let's not forget, a rogue state. Its treatment of women is appalling. Its treatment of other minorities is absolutely beyond the pale. And they've sponsored worldwide terrorism for over 40 years. So, you know, of course, on every level, this statement is bizarre and unacceptable. But she was elected, and she was elected, I would say, principally because the two main parties, Simon Harris's party and Micheál Martin's party, made an absolute hames of the presidential election and allowed her to come through the gap.
Look, John, thank you very much for joining us on all of that this evening. That is John Lee there, Group Political Editor with the Irish Daily Mail. The text line is just alive to this, Shane. Catherine Connolly has a job description and rules around her role. Flagrantly ignoring them brings the office into disrepute. If she wanted to be free to comment whenever and on whatever, she shouldn't have stood for the post, says John.
But George from Skibbereen says the president was absolutely right. The continuous avoiding of the elephant in the room by our government is an embarrassment and an insult to international law. Very quick to condemn Russia, yet so silent on Gaza, and now a blatant attack on a sovereign nation. George, I do have to clarify that our government was absolutely not silent
on government
Gaza. Our
government was considered to be the most pro-Gazan, pro-Palestinian Western government in the world.
Can I just very quickly, Article 13 of the Constitution, subsection 11, no power or function conferred on the president by law shall be exercisable or performable by him or her, save only on the advice of the government. That is our Constitution. Now, you can, for what it's worth, I agree with Catherine Connolly, but she has gone beyond her constitutional role in implicitly criticising the government. Are we okay with that? Personally, I think that's a problem. And I think we can't criticise Trump on the one hand for breaking the rules of diplomacy and international law and then say, well, it's okay in our country. I'm not comparing the two, but there is some comparison.
Do let us know because the amount of different, I suppose, comments and opinions coming in is very, very interesting. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.